We're doing a series through the book of Colossians. It's an unbelievable book. It's particularly harsh on the Boardwalk Bible and Book Club and the Moycliffe Midstream Ministry. It's quite harsh on them because, you know, when you come back from a long day of work and your wife has seen an angel, it's difficult to compete with that, you know, when they see all sorts of things. I remember, I'm a bit of a dorfolk. I've served God a long time. I've never heard his voice and I've never seen an angel. I want to. But I remember a mate of mine walking into the room and said, they're here. I said, who's here? He said, the angels. I said, where? He said, in the corner. Like I looked and I thought, no, I can't see anything. I thought maybe back corner, I couldn't see anything. Another corner. I know the angels are here. I've just never seen them. Some of you have, by God's grace, but some of you have got imaginations by God's grace too. And so what we have is we have, you see things that are not there because you eat things that you shouldn't. And smoke things that you shouldn't. I've seen many a man on Dacha seeing all sorts of things in the spirit realm. There's only one class of Christian, Christian. Christian. There are not many different levels of Christianity. And what this Bible is teaching us is none of us is superior to the others. And that's why I say to you, don't come to the front to ask me to pray. I'm not superior to you. I'm just having a go. I just happen to get the privilege of preaching. But I'm not superior. You have got access to Christ.
Amen.
You have got access to Christ. And that's what this book is saying. You don't have to go through a whole lot of hoops to become more spiritual. You have access to Christ. And that's what the church should be preaching. So that you can be free to go and do what God has called you to do. And not get caught up. You can't go from a sinful, worldly system into a Christian, religious, regulated system. God takes you from one system to set you free. Completely free. Amen?
Yeah.
So, you know what the number one criticism is of hotels? It's not the sheets. You would think it's the sheets. I mean, I've opened hotel sheets before and seen cat hair there. I mean, we've all got hotel stories, haven't we? Lipstick on the mugs. And toilets that have not quite been cleaned. But that is actually not the main criticism of hotels. The main criticism of hotels is the welcome. Now, you Buddha, all is like, welcome, welcome, yeah, welcome. No, well, not the welcome, no. Not the food. The main criticism of hotels is the internet connection. You know that? Yeah, I'll show it to you.
Whoa, this place is beautiful.
So remote.
No service on the phone.
No, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I guess we can just like completely shut off here.
Totally, yeah. The Wi-Fi password should be on the fridge.
Got it, the password's cottage 23.
Nice one.
Cottage 23.
Paul?
Yeah?
We got a problem.
What? The password not working?
No, the password's fine, it's just there's no internet.
No,
he's right. I've got nothing either.
No, me neither.
Maybe a fuse is gone. I can check the box.
You know how to do that.
Oh, it's fine. I can just Google.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Rental company said the Wi-Fi is included.
I'll email them.
I'm hungry.
I'll order a Deliveroo.
All right, let's just get out of here. I'll order a taxi.
I need to go for a dump.
All right, that's it. I'm going to hike back to the village.
It's 50 kilometers.
Yeah, don't care.
Do you know where you're going?
It's fine. I'll just put it into Google Maps.
No!
We're trapped.
We're going to die here of boredom.
Maybe we could play a game of chess or do a crossword.
Good idea.
Oh, no. The app needs internet.
Damn. We can't even listen to music.
Maybe they've got a vinyl player.
All they have is this.
What is it?
I think it existed before vinyls.
I haven't a clue how to work that oven, and we don't have YouTube.
We need to start a fire.
How do we do that?
What about that survival guy on TikTok?
Oh, yes, he's loads of videos on starting fires. I've seen them all.
Amazing.
Okay, how do you light the fire?
I don't remember.
What?
I didn't think I had to remember. I just saved them on the phone. That's how I remembered. The phone remembers.
Sure.
Yeah. And most of you, young generation, when you walk into church, the first thing you ask us is not, who's the pastor? How long have you been going for? Is there a mission trip to Mozambique? The first thing you ask for is the password. Because right now you're Googling. Most amazing thing, eh? And when we lose connection, we start to panic. When we lose connection, we start to panic. Quite a thing, eh? If we don't have access to Google Maps and we're in the middle of Joburg, we start to panic. Yeah? And if the roast is starting to boil and we don't know what to Google to get the roast to, we start to panic. Let's read the scripture. We're doing Colossians. Chapter 2 and verse 16. Let me quickly just show you a picture of my Bible, not to show you a picture of my Bible, to show you two amazing things. On the left-hand side, which we preached last week, say freedom,
freedom.
From human regulations, through life with Christ. On the right-hand side, which we'll pick up next week, thank God it won't be me, is rules for holy living. Say, rules for holy living. So he's saying, are there rules or are there no rules? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. You say, are you preaching rules? Not really. We're trying to show you that there are no rules. And when you understand that there are no rules, then you will understand that there are rules. You say, how does that work, Rory? Just like that. You say, but how does the Bible work? Just like that. If you understand the one, then you understand the other. If you preach the one without the other, you'll come into bondage. If you preach the one without the other, you won't go anywhere. So the one with the rules is an external command to try and make me behave. The other one actually does something deep inside of me and gets me to live from the inside out. And so Christianity, many times, particularly in Pretoria, is from the outside in. It's a set of rules saying, don't do, can, can't. What we're trying to show you is when Christ comes and lives inside of me and he actually grips my heart, I start living it from the inside out.
Beautiful.
Does that make sense? And they are completely different. Okay. Therefore, verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. No one. Don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. You know, last week, I met two people in the front of the beer queue. And I didn't order beer. I ordered double brandy and Coke. And then I walked with it, the bottle of water under my arm. And some of you doppers are thinking, yeah, my pastor's cool. And you're saying to your wife, you're hitting her now because at 1 o'clock this morning you had a couple of dops eating. Hey, is this Salah as egg, bro? Hey, is this Nessus egg? But I don't drink. I've never drunk. Not because I'm religious, just because I didn't think it would suit my personality. I thought I'd keep my wife safe from getting beaten up.
True.
But I don't have to explain that to anyone. You say, why are you explaining it now? I'm just telling you. You can actually walk without worrying what the heck people think about you. I just walk through. You say, why did you? But the Bible says avoid all kinds of, I won't have a drink if you're an alcoholic. I won't have a drink in my hand. But I can actually do it without you judging me. What can I? What can't I? What must I? What mustn't I? To heck with what you think. And to heck with what anybody else thinks. But it does say don't get drunk. It's flip. Oh, there's a rule. Yeah, there is. But be free. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
And what you eat. I mean, egg and? You can't not eat egg without bacon. You flipping. I mean, how? What would you like? Egg, please. And a bit of avo on the side. And what would you like with the avo? Hash brown. And do you do that sort of like bacon? It's macon. 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 It's not really bacon. It's macon. They make it from something else, from the guts of some other animal. Macon. No, you have bacon and egg. Egg and? I mean, you're going home now to have cheese and? Tomato. Yes, you are going to have cheese and tomato. you religious freak. I'm going to have cheese and ham rolls. So I don't care what you think about what I'm having for lunch. You have your cheese and tomato, darling. Wonderful. God bless you. That's what he's talking about. It's like, hey, cheese and tomato for me, my darling. I'm a vegetarian because I won't eat meat. God said you can eat anything. But I mean, maybe some of us are eating too much of it. He also talks about that. They say, hey, fat guy, don't tell me all this stuff. I'm just telling you, you're free. But eat a bit less than me. Are you with me? So we've got to try and grip something that before you know it jumps onto you as a set of rules, and we're trying to be free, but we're not free. But we can build a community that can change the world. We can build a community that can change the world. Beautiful. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival. Oh, don't we like having those? A new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. It's like you must obey Christ. And I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of things you've got to put into your calendar every day. 10th of October, Paul Kruger Day. We've got to go to the Voortrekker Monument and we've got to celebrate. Some people do that. They celebrate the 10th of October and you'd say, oh, Rory, don't tune us. I'm tuning you. I'm tuning you. And then we do things like Lent. 40 days before Easter, we must practice Lent. Jesus is Lent. Jesus is Lent. Jesus fulfilled Lent. Jesus is the 40 days that led up to Easter. Jesus is Easter. Jesus is Christmas. Jesus is the day of the vow. Jesus is every day. Amen? And so we drag this thing from the Old Testament to seem like we are spiritual. But it adds no spirituality to us. So let's go to 1 Chronicles 23. So this is the Old Testament. These are the priests. They were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. They were to do the same in the evening. And whenever burnt offerings were presented to the Lord on Sabbaths and at new moon festivals and at appointed feasts. So if you ask, he says exactly the same language as Colossians. You see that? It's the Old Testament. Sabbath, every week. How often does a new moon present itself? Every month. And the religious festivals were every year. So what happened in the Old Testament is they had daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly festivals, and we bring that into our New Testament theology, and if you don't live it, you're not quite as spiritual as me. He said, but we're disciplined. No, Jesus is disciplined. It's good to be disciplined. But we don't have to mark certain days. So what happens if you don't come to our Thursday night, Maundy Thursday, Easter service? Nothing. You've got Jesus. And what happens if you don't make it to our Good Friday service? Nothing. You've got Jesus. And what happens if you don't get here on Sundays? Nothing. You've got Jesus. You understand me? You understand you're free? And when you understand you're free, you think, okay, God, so how do I honor you now? And then he starts to teach us from inside out, not outside in. You know, the Afrikaners say it better than the English. Monday. How do you say it in Afrikaans? Maandag, die dag van die maan. So we are superstitious and we've got all this outside worship. Sunday, what do Afrikaners say? Sondag, die dag van die son. Saturday, Saturn day. The day of the planets. So it comes into our daily life all the time. Thursday is the day of Thor, the god of war, but the Afrikaners say it better. I told you. Yeah, yeah. Donderdag. Wat kan jy vandag doen? Donderdag. And so we have all these things that come into our weekly, daily, monthly. And he says, hey, you're free. You're free. You with me? And you think, hey, Rory, are you preaching complete freedom? I'm preaching complete freedom. And next week, we're going to start rules for holy living. Yeah. Yeah. And you go, oh, my hat. Which one, Rory? Both. Yeah. Verse 17. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
Amen.
These were a shadow. Say shadow.
Shadow.
Skarduvia. These are a shadow. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. If he were on earth, Jesus, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. How does that work? If he were on earth, he would not be a priest. So don't treat me like one. Don't come to me to offer prayers to get to God, because if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. Because he came and did what he had to do, and he finished it once and for all, and he went up to heaven, and he's sitting next to the Father, and he doesn't have to come back down here and offer sacrifices time after time. It's finished. Done.
Amen.
Finished. If he were a priest, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. And we think that pastors have to do that week after week, offering gifts week after week. And that's why people line up saying, can the priest please pray for me? You don't need it. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Hebrews chapter 10, please. The law is only of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Friends, he's just a shadow. If you follow my shadow, where's the light? Can you see my shadow there, sir? Where there? Can you see my shadow, sir? Follow my shadow. Please, if you don't mind, just come here and do it. Yeah, you. Can you see it starts there? It starts there.
Yep.
Okay, just get on your knees and follow it, please, sir. No, follow it. Follow it. Keep following my shadow. Follow it all the way. Follow it. Just follow my shadow. Keep following it. And then take hold of my leg. Why? Why would you settle for the shadow when you can lay hold of the substance? And why don't you stand, sir? And then I look at you and I say, it's finished over your life. You have been saved. You have been qualified. You have been redeemed. You've been accepted. You're a son of God. You are loved. You have got access to the Father. You've got confidence and boldness and freedom and cleanness and wholeness. Why would you settle for the shadow when you can have access to the substance? Why? But the reality. And you know what, sir? Maybe you just came today to look into my eyes. I am a very poor reflection of Christ. But I want to preach him in such a way that you know that you've got access to the substance, that you never, ever have to live in the shadow lands of any part of your life ever again, because the job is finished. He wouldn't even come back here as a priest because he's finished his job. You've got direct access into the substance of what God has for you. And every time you see a shadow, or a shadow is busy chasing you, something from your past, you turn to that shadow and you say, hey, I've got access to the substance. I've got access to the substance. And the Bible says he is over every principality and every authority and over every power. So that shadow's got no power over me because he's overwhelmed the shadow. You with me, friends? Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the... What's the biggest problem in hotels? They've lost connection. What is the biggest problem in the church? They have lost connection with the head. There's this phrase running around like a chicken without a Because if you chop a head of a chicken off, it can still run around for a couple of minutes, runs around like that, but it's got no head. It doesn't know where it's running. It's just running. And I see people that have served God for a long time. They're just running around like chickens without heads. Get the head in its place, and the body starts operating properly. Don't lose connection. And many times people come in here and they're like all over the place. Whoa. Here's the password. J-E-S-U-S, capital letters. Put the password in, reestablish your connection, and bring your life back into order. Back into order. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. People can say, why? Whoa. J-E-S-U-S. Then an introvert, younger, he gets his, and then a woman, and then an Afrikaans guy, and then a woman, and then an Afrikaans guy, a woman, an Afrikaans girl, an Afrikaans guy, African lady, German, English. And as we start to get the head in order and the body starts to line up, we start thinking, wow, this can actually, we can get this body to work. Free, whole, loved, substance. And we start to walk and it's a little bit funny, and then we start to walk and think, wow. Where would God send an Indian family who moved from Durban to go to church? Where would he send them to? Send them to an Afrikaans church. Why? I got no idea. Because he wants to show us how the body works together. He wants to show us how the body works together.
Amen.
And tomorrow there are going to be 1,500 Afrikaans people paying for an Indian woman. How? After 20 years of being in the body under the head and starts to work together. And then she comes home from work after 40 years and cooks a dish, and her husband gets in his car and he drops off the dish, and we start to build community. How? How's God take a beautiful man like that, highly educated, puts him into SARS, one of the top SARS guys in the country, and beautiful sons, highly educated sons, next to an Afrikaans couple. The body starts to work, and the head's in place. And when we cut the head off, he has lost connection with his head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinew, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you still submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Come to the church. Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. You can, you can't, you must, you mustn't, you will, you won't. You can't go there. You mustn't take coffee there. Don't do this, do that, don't do that. Stop that. Think, I've just come out of a sin system. I can't come into another set of rules. I've got to come into freedom.
Amen.
I can't have. I played golf yesterday with my sons. I saw a group of people sitting having beers at the table. I can't have a pastor walk past them and thinking, must I put my vape away? Must I put my... No, just suck on the thing, bro. Seriously. Suck and blow. You're going to die, but suck and blow, bro. But do you understand? But we have got so caught up with... And I think, no, we're free. Completely free. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. How many times have you fasted this month? I fasted for 40 days. The moment a guy tells me he's fasted for 40 days, I think you are a religious bigot. I don't see anywhere in the Bible other than Moses and Jesus where you fast for 40 days. And yet I've been in the church for years where people fast for 40 days. And the only way you know it is they tell you. Guys, you don't have to teach people about your spirituality because you are nothing without Christ. You are nothing without Christ. And that's why you don't need to line up here for me to pray, because I am nothing without Christ. I'm not more spiritual than you. I've not seen more angels than you. I don't have deeper revelation than you. The only revelation I have is this: Christ is enough for me. But these things lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. I joined the church when I was 21 because I wanted to sleep with my girlfriend. And all the church said was, don't do it. It's naughty. I thought, P-H-E-W. Enjoy your cheese and tomato. But I wanted to sleep with her. But I knew God was like holy, but the power inside of me was, I felt like his power was not enough until I realized that you cannot tell a 21-year-old to not sleep with his girlfriend when he's in love with her and he's got all this thing which God created inside of him, unless a power greater than the power inside of you comes inside of you. And I go to men's conferences and I hear these things. If you're battling with pornography, throw a brick through your computer. All that does, it breaks your computer. Put accountability systems in place. All that does, it tells your friends that you're watching porno. Fast and pray. It doesn't do it. You have to have a revelation of Jesus greater than the power to sleep with your girlfriend, because any rule and regulation is not enough to stop that power, which is one of the most powerful things in the world. But if you get a revelation of Christ, the head of the church, the creator of the universe, the firstborn over all creation, everything that Colossians teaches us, you won't have to follow any rules of any man or be policed by any elder in a church. Or when a pastor walks past you while you're having double brandy and coke, you won't have to wince. You can just reach out and have a sip. Because greater is he that in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Be free, but not that you can run wild. Be free so that you can outwork from inside out what Jesus has for you.
Yep.
Amen.